We'll turn now to Leviticus chapter 21. On page 99. Leviticus chapter 21. Reading verses 1 through 24. This is the word of the Lord. And the Lord said to Moses, "Speak to the priests, the sons of Aaron, and say to them, 'No one shall make himself unclean for the dead among his people, except for his closest relatives, his mother, his father, his son, his daughter, his brother, or his virgin sister, who is near to him because she has had no husband. For her he may make himself unclean. He shall not make himself unclean as a husband among his people, and so profane himself. They shall not make bald patches on their heads, nor shave off the edges of their beards, nor make any cuts on their body. They shall be holy to their God, and not profane the name of their God. For they offer the Lord's food offerings, the bread of their God. Therefore they shall be holy. They shall not marry a prostitute or a woman who has been defiled. Neither shall they marry a woman divorced from her husband, for the priest is holy to his God. You shall sanctify him, for he offers the bread of your God. He shall be holy to you, for I, the Lord, who sanctify you, am holy. And the daughter of any priest, if she profanes herself by whoring, profanes her father. She shall be burned with fire. The priest who is chief among his brothers, on whose head the anointing oil is poured, and who has been consecrated to wear the garments, shall not let the hair of his head hang loose, nor tear his clothes. He shall not go into any dead bodies, nor make himself unclean, even for his father or for his mother. He shall not go out of the sanctuary, lest he profane the sanctuary of God, for the consecration of the anointing oil of his God is on him. I am the Lord. And he shall take a wife in her virginity, a widow or a divorced woman, or a woman who has been defiled, or a prostitute. These he shall not marry. But he shall take as his wife a virgin of his own people, that he may not profane his offspring among his people, for I am the Lord who sanctifies him." And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to Aaron, saying, 'None of your offspring throughout their generations who has a blemish may approach to offer the bread of his God. For no one who has a blemish shall draw near, a man blind or lame, or one who has a mutilated face or a limb too long, or a man who has an injured foot or an injured hand, or a hunchback or a dwarf, or a man with a defect in his sight, or an itching disease, or scabs or crushed testicles. No man of the offspring of Aaron the priest who has a blemish shall come near to offer the Lord's food offerings, since he has a blemish. He shall not come near to offer the bread of his God. He may eat the bread of his God, both of the most holy and of the holy things, but he shall not go through the veil or approach the altar, because he has a blemish, that he may not profane my sanctuaries, for I am the Lord who sanctifies them." So Moses spoke to Aaron and to his sons and to all the people of Israel. This is the word of the Lord. The Levitical priest was a husband among his people. The Levitical priest was a husband to his people. In Leviticus chapter 21, we have the image of the priest of God as a bridegroom and husband, and the people of God as a bride and a wife. And so while a priest might have a wife, he was not only a husband to her, but he was a husband to all the people. The priest was a husband among his people. The priest was a husband to his people. And this image of the priest as a husband, it does not begin in Leviticus. It begins in Genesis. It begins at the beginning. It begins with Adam in the garden of God. That garden was a temple, and Adam was its priest. Just as the priests were to guard the tabernacle and to minister in it. Numbers chapter 3, verse 7. So also Adam was to guard the garden and to minister in it. Genesis chapter 2, verse 15. The same Hebrew words used of the priests and the Levites with respect to the tabernacle in Numbers chapter 3, to guard and to minister, are used of Adam with respect to the garden in Genesis chapter 2, to work and to keep, or to guard and to minister. And so the obligation of the priests in the tabernacle, it has helped us to understand the obligation of Adam in the garden. What Adam ought to have done there. He ought to have guarded the garden from the serpent who defiled it. He ought to have struck down the serpent and cast it out of the garden. And when his wife had sinned, he ought to have ministered to her. He ought to have made atonement for her. He ought to have given himself up for her, to cleanse her, to sanctify her, that he might redeem the woman whom God had given to him. The woman whom God had given to him to be with him, because it was not good that he should be alone. This is something which Adam did not do. The story does not end in Genesis. We have Leviticus because God, by his grace, promised that he himself would do what Adam failed to do through the offspring of the woman. And so, as the Levitical priest helps us to understand the identity and work of Adam, Adam helps us to understand the identity and work of the priest. Adam was a husband to the woman whom God had formed for him and given to him. And this relationship, it informs that relationship between the priest and the people. Adam with his wife. The priest among the people. Both of these relationships point to, participate in that mystery which refers to Christ and the church. Adam and the woman, the priest and the people, both are images of Christ and his church. If Adam is the first priest, the woman is the first church. And so just as Adam was a husband to the woman, so also the priest was a husband to the people. He was a husband among his people, because he was a husband to his people. Last Lord's Day we noted that this informs the reason for which a priest's wife is not included in the list of those corpses for whom he might make himself unclean. He might make himself unclean for his mother, his father, his son, his daughter, his brother, his sister, but not for his wife. Because he was husband to a greater bride, a bride for whom he was to keep himself clean. Adam failed to keep himself clean upon the spiritual death of his wife. And so, as a sign of God's promise, the priest was to keep himself clean upon the physical death of his wife. This was a sign of the people's hope. But it was also an indication of the priest's weakness. A priest's keeping himself clean upon the death of his wife, it was a sign of the people's hope, but it was also an indication of the priest's weakness. By his touch, the Levitical priest could become unclean. But by his touch, the Levitical priest could not make clean. He could not undo the death of his wife. And so he could not truly undo the death of his people. He could not truly make atonement for them. He could not truly sanctify them. He could not truly cleanse them. He could not truly redeem that woman for whom he was a husband. Leviticus chapter 21 reveals the hope of the people as represented by their priest. But Leviticus chapter 21 also shows that this hope would not be fulfilled by that priest. The Levitical priest was the representation of their hope. But the Levitical priest was not the fulfillment of their hope. And this helps us to understand those laws concerning whom a priest could marry. The restrictions upon a priest here also were greater than the restrictions upon the people. Again, because of his proximity to the dwelling place of God. The nearer you come to God, the holier you must be. The priests entered further into the tabernacle than the people, entering not only the court, but also the holy place. And so the restrictions upon them were greater. It is why the restrictions upon the high priest are even greater than the restrictions upon his brothers. Because he entered even further into the tabernacle than they, entering not only the holy place, but also the most holy place where God dwelled. And so a priest could not marry a prostitute or a woman who had been defiled. Or a woman divorced from her husband. And beyond this, the high priest could not marry even a widow. He could only marry a woman who had not yet been married. The holiness of the priest, because of his proximity to God, it limited those whom he could marry. It was a reminder of the holiness of God. A holiness that affected the priest, and a holiness that affected his family, and in particular, the women of his family. In Leviticus chapter 21, particularly affecting his wife and his daughter. The woman in Leviticus was the embodiment of the tabernacle, we have said. The woman in Leviticus was the embodiment of the tabernacle. She was a representation of the tabernacle. And if this was true of every woman, it was all the more true for the wife and daughter of a priest who served in the tabernacle. This is why a priest could not marry a prostitute. That is, a promiscuous woman. In Israel, a man might marry a woman who had been faithless before marriage. But the priest could not. The priest was further set apart. As the Lord in whose presence he served was most holy, so the priest was to reflect that holiness in this way. And as the priest was to be holy, so his wife was to be holy. But this prohibition is about more than moral character. If it were only about moral character, it would be impossible to understand those others whom the priest was forbidden to marry. a woman who has been defiled. That is to say, a woman who has been violated. A woman who has been raped. By its very definition, this act was not in agreement with the woman's will, but it was contrary to her will. It is the violator who sins, not the woman. She has done nothing wrong, but something wrong has been done to her. But the priest was not permitted to marry her. Why not? Because she had been defiled. Because the purity with which she was made had been transgressed. Not by her, but by another. Leviticus chapter 21, we see that rape is not without consequence. And that its consequence is borne not only by the violator, who was to be put to death, but the consequence was borne also by the woman violated. That is why rape is such a heinous sin. Because a man takes from a woman against her will something that God has given to her. Because a man takes from a woman against her will something that cannot be given back. And if that seems unfair, it's because it is unfair. But it's not the end of the story. In the same way that the people received the tabernacle undefiled from God, a priest was to receive his wife undefiled. This is also why he could not marry a divorced woman. Again, even if she had been divorced for no fault of her own, God did not design marriage to end in divorce. According to his design, the marriage of two, a man and a woman, in that marriage they become one flesh. And what God has joined together, no man is to separate. Divorce exists because sin exists. And even when there are legitimate grounds for divorce, the end of marriage and divorce, it does not show forth the purpose of marriage for which God gave it. It is contrary to that mystery. The marriage of Christ and the church. A union that cannot be severed. A marriage that is without end. A priest was not to marry a promiscuous woman. A priest was not to marry a violated woman. A priest was not to marry a divorced woman. In different ways, each one speaks to the holiness of God. And to the consequence of sin. The wife of a priest was to be pure and undefiled as a reminder to the people that they were to be pure and undefiled. For the priest was not only a husband to his wife, but the priest was a husband to the people. And so here again, the hope of the people is revealed. The hope of the people was revealed in the marriage of a priest, of what kind of people they were to be, of what kind of people they must be. What kind of people you are to be. What kind of people you must be. And so here also is revealed the limitation of the Levitical priest. For here also is revealed that hope of the people that could not be fulfilled by him. That promise of God to his people that would not be fulfilled by the Levitical priest. Why did the priest, the Levitical priest, why did he have to marry a faithful woman? Why did he have to marry an undefiled woman? Why did he have to marry an unseparated woman? Because he could not make a faithless woman faithful. He could not make a defiled woman undefiled. He could not make a divorced woman whole. But Christ can. Christ has. When he came, he allowed prostitutes to be near him. A promiscuous woman to anoint him. defiled woman to touch him. A divorced woman to speak with him. And not only did he permit them to draw near to him, but he himself drew near to them. Because he was seeking his bride. You are an unfaithful woman. You are a defiled woman. You are a cast out woman. But you are also the woman whom God has given to Christ. To Christ, your bridegroom. To Christ, your priest. And so you are the woman he has redeemed. The woman for whom he gave himself up. That he might sanctify you. That he might cleanse you. That he might be with you forever. In Christ, the faithless woman is made faithful. In Christ, the defiled woman becomes undefiled. In Christ, the rejected woman is accepted. What the Levitical priest could not do, Christ has done. In him, God's promise is yes and amen. And as he has opened the way for you into the most holy place of God's presence, so also he will present you to himself in splendor, a pure and glorious bride, undefiled, unfading, holy, and blameless. The bridegroom with his wife. The priest with his people. Christ with his church forever. Do you believe this? Amen.